Welcome to the Sales Chaos Theory Podcast, the go-to audio experience for navigating the ever-evolving landscape of sales conversations. Hosted by the dynamic duo Tim Ojai and Brian Lambert, this is your invitation to dive deep into the world of value communication like never before. In a market flooded with unpredictability and constant change, Sales Chaos Theory is your guiding light, offering insights, strategies, and the much-needed clarity to help you find the patterns and thrive amidst the mayhem. This is Sales Chaos Theory, where we make sense of the complexity in the market and help you lean into it to rise above the fray and land more deals. Let's dive in.
Welcome, friends. As a sales leader or a value communicator, it's likely that you're getting a lot of internal pressure to sell and communicate value. It's who you talk to that matters. And in this podcast, it's going to be a discussion and a deep dive on a critical role. Now, who here would love to talk to a CFO? Well, that's what we're about to do on this podcast. Tim will be conducting an interview with the CFO of a mid-sized company. And then both him and I will debrief it. We hope you find this podcast insightful and it helps you communicate value.
The Sales Chaos Podcast starts now.
All right, so here we go. I have on the phone a chief financial officer, a CFO, who has been in the industry, in a variety of industries, in this role for many years. And today we're just going to try and learn about his perspective as a buyer. So let me start with a little bit around just kind of the bigger picture, kind of the context. Talk to me about the kind of pressures and trends that affect your role the most.
Well, I don't think there's any difference between a CFO role and others, other than the fact that it's, you know, it does have a finance bent. I think, like a lot of people, there's pressure around performance of the business, but then there's an individual pressure as well, as you know, to perform as a CFO as to what's important for them personally. And I think that, you know, anytime you get in and anytime you talk about a CFO, you know, our job is to make sure that we're maximizing the long term, you know, and short term for that matter, but more importantly, the long term, the net present value of the investors' returns, and you want to make sure that you're spending your time in the right places so that you can do that.
So, when you look at like long term pressures, are they all financial, or are there other things that you're trying to look at?
No, and I think as a CFO, a lot of times you carry even what I'll call the kind of the chief risk officer. We get the opportunity to kind of step back and look at the business from the outside almost a little bit, and you're looking at all kinds of elements, right? So it's not just the financial elements of the company. It's also, you know, for instance, where are we from a talent perspective? Where are we from a, you know, a long-term capital investment perspective? So it's not just the financial aspects, though everything ultimately comes back to the long-term present, you know, the net present value of the company. But you are trying to look at all aspects of the company. You know, we're not the controller, so we're not strictly looking at making sure that the accounting gets done properly. We're there to look at all aspects of the business.
So risk, that's a huge word, because you could have risk in all kinds of parts of the business. Are you literally playing with, maybe that's not the right term, but involved with every function in a company from a risk perspective?
It depends on at what level in the company that you play. I think more than anything that I like to say is the real role of the finance organization and the CFO is to, you know, most people think of it as the, some people think of it as the revenue prevention department or the gatekeepers, if you will. But I see our role really is to get people to think differently. So have we thought through all the aspects of the risk around the business? Have we thought about, you know, what is the long-term implication? Yeah, we get a quick sale today, but what does that mean for us longer term if we run into problems with delivery and we don't have suppliers in the right place? But and there's a lot of different aspects of risk. There's the operational risk, there's credit risk, liquidity risk, all the areas that we get into, you know, credit, customer risk, those types of things. But there, it's the other, what I'll call kind of the hidden risks around talent, around regulatory risks. It's those things that we don't necessarily think about every day.
That's fascinating. All right, so let's go a little deeper down the rabbit hole, so to speak. Talk to me about the kinds of problems that you have to navigate most often.
I think that the problems that I navigate more than anything, everybody's got great ideas, and they want to bring those great ideas to you. But I don't know that people thought through all the aspects of it. So, you know, on a daily basis, I'm challenging people to think and look at things differently. But in our particular industry, recently the big focus has been around liquidity. It's been around long-term growth opportunities. We're looking a lot around what the risk in the market looks like for us, because the market moves quite rapidly. So what are the trends we see, and how are we going to respond to those? But it's really keeping our finger on that on a day-to-day basis, but also trying to pull our head out once in a while and, you know, have risk discussions beyond just what's happening today. But, you know, when are we going to get together and talk about it? But more importantly, I would say, on the day-to-day basis, it's people bringing deals to you all the time, people bringing opportunities to get a look at, and how do you evaluate those on a very quick and rapid basis? Because, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, so you have to decide where do you go and where do you spend your time.
So, all right, so
kind of a long-winded answer, but I hope that, gives you a bit of a feel. It's not one or two things.
No, totally get that. But so a lot of what you're talking, though, about is kind of an external perspective. How about internal problems? What kind of internal stuff do you have to navigate most often?
Oh, well, there's always the political aspects of, you know, you got to make sure that your commercial people are still feeling motivated, and even though you have challenged them, I think internally as well. You know, there are competing programs with the inside of a business. You know, the big phrase a lot, you heard a lot about this, was somebody putting together your list of all your activities inside, and then being able to figure out where we want to focus our time and what do we want to focus our time on. I think that's the biggest challenge that you have as an executive, is how do I choose the things to work on that are the biggest return for my company? Because everybody's got an idea. Everybody's coming at you with ideas. Everybody wants, you know, 10 minutes of your time on something. And a lot of times they haven't thought through it all the way.
Okay, so the whole prioritization piece, it sounds like that's just, how do I put this? That's like a moving target. It sounds like it could be a priority today, but even within a week or a month or a quarter, it could be completely upside down.
Oh, absolutely. There are changes in the market, change with customers, change with, you know, I think the, you know, you asked earlier about what are the things we work on. I think that's the biggest piece, right? It's a constantly changing, constantly evolving world that you live in. I don't think it's any different for CFOs than it is anybody else. And being able to keep your finger on that pulse as to, you know, is this really the fire for the day that you have to deal with, right? Because you're going to have long-term things that you have to work on, and they absolutely have to get done. And making sure that the short-term, you know, the urgent type things, the tyranny of the urgent doesn't, you know, eat you alive to the point where you can't accomplish the long-term aspects of what you need to do.
Okay. So someone, if they're going to try and help you, especially if they're in a role of sales professional, they really need to understand how this works, and not just trying to come in and just knock on your door and shove something in your face. Any advice you would have for people in the role of being a sales professional trying to connect with you? Let's just start with what's the worst things that they need to avoid?
Well, I think the thing that's the most frustrating for me, as I talked about it, is people that have come and they haven't done their homework. Right, they haven't found out enough about our company, about what the challenges we face are, and they show up and it's a sales call on, you know, I'm going to tell you what my company does and tell you how great things are. And so there's some of that, right? I need to learn about your company, but at the same point in time, you know, where do you fit in with everything else that I've got going on? Help me understand where you're going to bring that, you know, the short-term, the long-term value, how it impacts me personally as a CFO, and then also how it helps the corporation. And I think the one thing that I was reading this the other day, and I really believe this, is historically, you know, the sales organizations were, let me come in and let me listen to you. Let me talk, you know, and let's find out what you need. That's still very important. I don't want to diminish that. But I think the other element that's really important to me is not just, it is important to listen to me, but where are you going to come in and tell me where I need to be afraid? What are the things I need to be watching out for? Then understand and listen to me as to whether that's important to me or not. Are there other people in our industry doing things differently than we are, and things that I need to be worried about? Are you hearing about things from a regulatory perspective? And then let's chat about it. And if I've got it under control, then I really don't have time to sit and listen to you sell me on something I've already got in place. That's when I think the listening starts to come in. I think first, challenge me that we've got things in place and we're working on elements that you may think I need to be concerned about. But then after that, let's talk about what we've got going on. Maybe I've got it right, maybe I don't. But once we've gone through it, then let's move on to where you may be able to help me somewhere else.
That's awesome. Well, there you have it, folks. The voice of a CFO being pretty transparent. Just to summarize, there is a lot going on, and a CFO isn't actually looking at math. They're actually looking at business decisions, especially around long-term vision and long-term strategic opportunities. So if you haven't done your homework walking in the door and don't even understand how those priorities are even established, you're going to walk in really, frankly, way behind the game. All right, that's it. And thanks again.
Hi, everybody. This is Brian Lambert. And thank you so much, Tim, for that great interview with that CFO. Wow. We heard some really good stuff there. And it's important to think about these roles, and especially the CFO role. And I don't think I ever had access to the brain of a CFO early in my career. And I think this is one of those things where no matter how long you've sold for, it's always great to hear reality in the trenches.
So what kind of, I don't know, emotions do you think that CFO was going through, Brian, when you were listening?
I think he is very on top of it, obviously on top of the changes that are occurring. But I think there's a lot of different perspectives that have to be managed, and he has to manage those without getting swarmed up into them. He has to rise above the fray. And I think I heard a lot of that in what he was talking about.
Did you hear any worry in there? Not like crippling, but just like almost, I hate to use the word fear, but there was like this sense of, I got to stay on top of this stuff, but I'm not, I don't know if I am.
Yeah, maybe. I think, I wonder if everybody in today's world has that view. I think it's this idea of, I've talked to CFOs before, and they translate it back to me as they understand a view of the business that very few others understand. And I think that is the tone or the undercurrent, if I had to project here without talking to him, is, you know, this idea of translating what's really important to him to the other functions in the business and somehow having them see what he sees.
Yeah.
And that's easier said than done.
Yeah, that is, I think you nailed it, that it's tough for CFOs to find people who understand what they're trying to do and then can bring information to them in a way that helps them see even better. Wow. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, so let's take a moment then and just kind of summarize kind of what I was thinking. You know, my biggest thought was there's this huge shift in what I thought CFOs were about and what they are about now. And based on that interview, it's very typical of the other CFOs we talk to, that there's gone from this perspective where CFOs are known primarily as, you know, number crunchers and really solid, super financial experts, and able to work the math and to see, provide hard numbers to soft concepts. That is almost old school. I mean, that still goes on. There's still accounting that has to be done. But for a CFO, that they rely on their controllers to do that. What the CFO is trying to do is really take the hard assets they have and go define a soft concept. They have to go almost reverse that. They have to go define a future state that doesn't exist, and they have to have a solid business case that underscores or defines the possibility of that happening. And then if they do that right, they have to orchestrate the use of all the resources in the organization around that potential future state or desired future state. Is that what you heard, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this idea of, math is a universal language in business, and the evolution of the CFO role is not just to count the beans anymore. It's to use math and use finance to be able to make smart decisions and to allocate these resources. So, you know, it still requires that aspect and a certain level of smarts in the role, but you also have to now blend that with not only the math smarts, but the business savvy as well. And I think that's the big takeaway from that aspect of the interview.
That's huge. So let's talk about three things that we also want to highlight then as kind of takeaways from that interview. And one of them is really what that role is focused on working on. And I thought there was a really good picture or a snapshot into what a day in the life looks like and the things that CFOs work on. And there was a tremendous amount of energy being spent around the concept of prioritization, trying to really get a handle around not only the obvious risks, but the hidden one. And I was impressed by the things that were mentioned as hidden risks, like, you know, talent needs and talent gaps, having the right assets and resources that your business needs. And it's not just because your business needs them to be more productive, et cetera, but also because your customers need you to be more savvy or more efficient or more productive or more secure, or pick a term that defines a requirement from a customer's point of view, and regulatory changes that get thrown on top of that. All of those risks are all outside of what you would consider the normal view of finances. And that is, to me, just absolutely critical to understand how those risks drive constant shifting of prioritization. It seems to me that the organization is constantly, maybe even arguing over what's most important and what's not.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're bringing up an awesome point in this role, because when you think of what does it mean to perform as a CFO today, they have to enter into that type of fray and tackle reality. And when it might be hard for our listeners to believe that a CFO is worrying about talent gaps. In the siloed view of business, you know, there's no way the CFO would say, you know, perhaps, hey, do we have the right talent here? But
yeah, that sounds like HR's job, right?
Yeah, that's HR's job. But if you look at it from the aspect of what am I funding, that's what he's saying. Are we funding what we need to fund to close our talent gap? He's not going to sit there and do interviews for salespeople, right? But so it's a funding thing. It's an allocation of resources thing. And you have to enter into the fray with that, because a dollar over here or a euro over there, you have to make sure that those investments are spent wisely. So that's, I think, the day in the life, the what are they working on now? What does it mean to perform? And that aspect is critical. The second thing that I heard is this idea of if we understand that that's the future state and you have to rise above it, where is this role headed? And I think he spent a great amount of time for a CFO, in my opinion, on this idea of where's the market headed? Where's the industry headed? Where's our business headed? What's this idea of return on investment? And how do I help us get there? In other words, how do I inject conversations and questions to perhaps some internally myopic functions, if I could be so, you know, let me project again and be, you know, I've seen this happen where you know, folks don't think about the outside the company. They're thinking about their product or they're thinking about their initiative. You know, perhaps he's asking questions around where are we headed? Are we getting a return on that? Let me ask you some business-centric questions, not to poke you, other functional head, but to make sure that we're driving to the future state. And in that way, in this role, which is, you know, the second aspect, is all about arbitrating across functions, or taking a dollar here and moving it over there. This idea of who has the best business case for helping us achieve our company objectives, and let me arbitrate across these functions that perhaps have friction, and let me make that final decision. And I think that's where the role is headed. What do you think about that, Tim?
Yeah, well, to me, it's that phrase of orchestrating the resources. So they're playing conductor to a very large group of musicians, and everybody's an artist, everybody's a specialist, everybody's really good at what they do. And you're literally telling groups to go silent. And you're telling other groups to get louder. And you're trying to do it at the right time so it sounds good, so to speak, so that the customers that you rely on continue to do business with you, and the customers you're trying to engage will suddenly turn and pay attention, right? And it's that orchestration aspect that what I heard explained drives a lot of internal politics. It drives a lot of the stuff that you're talking about, where you're not only playing arbitrator, but you're probably even playing coach, and you're certainly playing judge, which doesn't necessarily make you super popular. So it's a very complex role that I think as sellers, we need to have a lot of empathy for what's going on. At the same time, we need to elevate our perspective, because when we come in and say, hey, I just want to sell you this because I see you have a need, and they're going to go, yeah, but if you fix that need, you actually create a disruption for another part of my strategy or our strategy. And yeah. I can't have you creating disruption for what I'm trying to orchestrate. And so, no, you do not get the business. Which totally opens the door to the third point around how do you prepare to sell to CFOs? How do you help the CFO be successful? And if you don't understand what they're trying to orchestrate, you're not going to effectively be able to sell to them, because you don't know how you fit into their reality. You're just coming in the door and trying to sell blind. I love that he said that the worst thing that a seller can do is not do the homework on the reality that that CFO is facing. And obviously there's this whole piece around exploring, you know, hey, what do you need, and listening to the CFO and getting a sense of their priorities. But really, when they only have literally 10 minutes to give you to talk, how can you even begin a shift in their thinking before you even show up, by what you send them in advance and what you prepare them to talk about in terms of what they should be paying attention to? What are the shifts or the trends or the changes that are occurring that they need to fold into how they orchestrate?
Yep, absolutely. And I think this is interesting, right? So being prepared, you know, let me ask the listeners here, what's the difference between a CFO and a controller? You know, do you have the answer to that question? Because the CFO is oftentimes on top of a whole finance organization. There are multiple roles within that finance organization. One of them is the controller, but there are also other roles. And perhaps in future podcasts, we'll be able to unpack further the actual CFO function. But not all altitude levels are the same. Not all job titles and roles are the same in the finance function. And that's part of your preparation, is understanding the role of the CFO in relation to the other components of the finance organization. So for Tim, thank you so much for listening. This role of CFO is absolutely critical to the organization. If you follow these three points, the first one being understanding the day in the life, the today view, and then the second point being understand where this role needs to go, where they're headed. And then more importantly, as Tim said, making sure you're prepared for that critical conversation, doing your homework, and spending that time to really unpack not only their role, but their function and where they need to go. That'll help you sell. And you know what? When you talk to a CFO that way, they'll help you sell too. Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah, so that's it. We invite you to put your thoughts, comments, and your feedback below. Start a dialogue. Help other people understand more just by the questions you ask. And remember, friends, literally, tips and tricks don't save the world. You need to find your own way to communicate value to buyers at every interaction so you can turn chaos into opportunity. Thanks for joining today. See you next time.
Thank you for listening.